Lord, we just pray your incredible blessing on Chris's life right now. But Lord, for this moment, would you bless him with the ability to share your word with truth, and with accuracy, and with something that's straight from you. Lord, thank you for his heart and for, just his willingness to kind of press into the word in the last few weeks to bring us something quality, something from you. Help us have a good time. Help us be ready for this. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Nate. It's my honor to share God's word with you today, and I thank him that it doesn't rest solely on my ability, because if that were the case, I'd be struggling. I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity from our leaders, Andrew and Melissa, and our church family to bring a word to you today. And in preparation for this message, I started praying and seeking God, asking for his leading in what he would have me bring to our church family today. And like with any message, God has been working this in my heart and in my life very much so over the last few weeks, especially in the last couple of days, where I've come to realize more and more just how much I cannot do this without him. I need him. If I'm going to preach a message on how to love like Jesus, then I'm going to need to seek him first. So it started a few weeks ago. I was blessed by an act of kindness and love. Someone paid for my meal, and I was really overwhelmed by gratitude, thanks, and just really felt loved by that act. And at that time, you know, I admitted to the people that were there that I can struggle at times to receive love, receive gifts, receive love. And it was an area of my life that I'm still working on, and I was encouraged to keep working at it. And so I took that to prayer, and I was convicted that receiving love is an area that I need to put more intentional work into, focus on seeking God's word in the Bible on how I can do this better in my own life, especially if I'm going to bring a word to share with other people about how we might do that. So that's what I've been doing. And for me, this situation, I guess, was God's way of gently nudging me into that direction that I needed to be at. So today we're going to be talking about communicating love. For some of us, that will be focused on how we receive that, how we give that, different ways we can express that. But ultimately, we want to have a look at God's word to understand how we can love like Jesus. He's given us an example to follow. And so we're going to find different passages and God's word along the way to help us understand that better. So the central verse that we're going to be referring back to today, if you want to grab your Bibles with us and follow along, we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. And it says this: "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." My first point today is that we must receive love from the Father. We must seek him first, because no matter how hard I try, I can't do it without his love. I can try and be the best, I can try harder, I can try and do everything I can to share that, but if the love that I'm trying to give is not from the Father, it's just of my own, and I fall short every time, every day, every situation. And it's about coming back to God and understanding that He is love and that He will outpour that love for us. He's already done it. And it's up to me to seek Him, to find and ask for that love from Him. For me, I go back to the time in my life where I hadn't received love from the Father, where I was living separated from Him, living in a life that was totally in opposition to that. And so when I heard the good news, that gospel message that God had sent His Son Jesus to sacrifice Himself, to pay the price that was needed for my forgiveness, for my place in heaven, for eternal life in relationship with Him, I remember that feeling of being loved so deeply, that He loved me so much that He wanted to redeem my life from that darkness I was living in and bring me into the light of His love. I remember I had a really hard time thinking about receiving that level of love, this unconditional extension of grace and mercy and love. It was so overwhelming, and it still can be at times when I think of just how much He loves us. I remember the first time that I really heard that gospel message of God's love for us, I just sat in tears. That was the only way in which I could respond. And when people were there bringing the word, asked if anyone wants to come forward and receive this free gift of God's love, His ultimate expression of love that was demonstrated by Jesus willingly going to the cross so that I and everyone who believes could be saved, I just wanted to let it all go and receive. And once I let go of all that past resistance and received His love, I went forward. I admitted that I needed Him, that I wanted Him to journey this life with me, and I confessed Him, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Transformation could begin. And that work still continues to this day. It still continued to the moment of starting to prepare this message. God had revealed who He is to us through Jesus and given us direct access to relationship with Him. But sometimes I still try and do it on my own. I still try and find other ways to generate this love to give. A little bit earlier in this letter that John writes, he talks about where not to find love. He talks about, do not love this world or the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but they are from this world. And this world is fading away. Along with it, everything that people crave. But anyone who pleases God will live forever. It's such a timely reminder for me that if I'm not receiving my love from the Father, I'm trying to look for it in different places. I'm trying to find it in all the wrong things. I can try my best, I can try harder, I can try and earn it, I can try and find it here and there. But if I'm not receiving it from the Father, it's just of my own. And as I said, I'll fall short every time. So what do we do when we've received this love? Where do we take that? Well, everyone who loves, who's been born of God and knows God, lives in response to that love. And that's my second point today. That we want to live a life worthy of the gospel. Paul speaks about it whilst he's in chains for the sake of the gospel in Philippians, and he says this: whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. If I take time to check my life and check the way that I'm living in response, is it in a manner worthy of the gospel, the ultimate expression and outpouring of God's love? I know at times the answer to that is no, and I need to come back to the Father. I need to lay that down, and I need to ask once again to receive that love so that I can be filled to go out and live a life worthy of the gospel. And the best thing is, Jesus has given us an example to follow, and the gospel is full of ideas and ways in which Jesus has already expressed and demonstrated this love, the way that he lived in response to his Father. And we're going to open that up a little bit. I really would love that to be the bulk of the message today, is looking at the ways in which Jesus has expressed love in the Gospels. And one of the things that God had put on my heart along the way throughout this message was this concept by a fella. His name is a Christian man named Gary Chapman, and he talks about the five love languages. And I don't want to get too much into, oh yeah, this is this love language and all of that. I want to give a short definition, but mostly we want to focus on how Jesus has expressed this as an example for us. In John chapter 13, Jesus reminds us, he says, I've given you an example to follow, so do as I have done. So we'll open a few of these up this morning. And if you've got your Bible, I'd really encourage you to follow along. I'm only going to capture small verses of stories that I'm referring to, but I'd encourage you, bookmark them, have a look, open that up throughout the week. Let's continue to talk about it. So the five love languages, some of you may have heard them. Others, it may be a new concept, but we're talking here about communicating love, ways in which we can communicate love, both in receiving and in giving. And we'll start with words of affirmation, which are just words or phrases that people say in our in your life to make them feel good about who they are and what they do. These words can be compliments, words of encouragement, remarks that express kindness, or those that signify your faith in them. So just a few examples that we're going to have a look at today. Jesus speaking of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, verses 9 to 11. I'm just going to be reading verse 11 here. It says, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. Another example today is Jesus commending the centurion soldier in Luke chapter 7. The story is from verses 1 to 10, but let me just share one of the later verses with you. Jesus says this, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Basically, Jesus and this soldier are having a conversation, and the soldier is a man that understands authority. He's seeking Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus is, you know, obviously quite busy in the midst of all that is happening. So many people coming to him, asking him questions, seeking him. And he makes time for each and every person that comes to him. That's the the amazing thing, no matter how many times we hear of people seeking Jesus, we always know that he expresses that love by just stopping and giving them the time that they need. And this man, the soldier, he basically describes his faith in Jesus, that he knows Jesus doesn't have to physically go to the place to do the healing, but if he says the word, then it will be done. And that's the kind of faith that Jesus is commending this soldier for. Jesus also stated that the disciples were his family. He said, "This is my brother, this is my mother." Such kind and generous words to the people that he did life with. We think about as well the words that Jesus used for the woman who anointed him with oil. Whilst other people were questioning and criticizing this woman for pouring out a gift, a sacrifice of an expensive perfume oil that was given to Jesus, he says to them that, "I tell you the truth, whenever the good news is preached throughout all of the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed," as we're doing today. We're preaching the word, and we still remember Jesus' words of affirmation for this woman. The last one I want to touch on today is when Jesus affirms Peter when he identifies him as the Son of God. Jesus asks his disciples, you know, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Son of God, the Messiah." And Jesus tells him that, "You're blessed because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from human beings." As we step through these love languages, I'd love to encourage you to think about, who are the people in your life that you're seeking the words of affirmation from? Do you seek first the Father's words in the Bible, the word that's been given to us? Are there particular people in your life that you know you could be speaking life to them through using these words of information, people that need to hear these words, this love? Plenty of questions to challenge ourselves with and ask along the way when we think about how we are giving and receiving of this kinds of love. The next one we're going to have a look at is quality time. Quality time is pretty self-explanatory, but a brief description would say that it's time dedicated solely for the purpose of being with the person without distractions. We live in a world full of distractions these days. You only have to look at a cafe or look around. In so many places you go, people are doing things and someone's on the phone. I'm guilty of it myself. I do it all the time. I have to pull it back and say, am I giving the people that I'm with the quality time that they deserve? Am I communicating that kind of love to them? The activities that you do when you're sharing the love of quality time, the activities are secondary to the actual act of being together. And, you know, some ways we can do this is actively engaging in meaningful conversation. We want to get underneath the surface level and start to get into a dialogue. Some examples of this that Jesus lived out. Well, we look at, he lived with his disciples for 3 years, and though he spent so much time with many people, teaching them, healing them, journeying with them, he took aside and shared special time with the disciples. He took time to explain the meanings of parables to them. He guarded his quality time with those closest to him, even to the point when we remember his mother and brother come to see him and he's explaining that the disciples are his family. He's spending that time with them. And look, Jesus also spent a lot of quality time with those that he came to save, with those people that society would have written off as sinners, you know, such as the tax collectors, the people that the Pharisees and the religious leaders would complain about, Jesus spent the time to not just tell these people he loved them, but spent that time actually living out that love for them. We're going to move on to the third gift, the third love language now, and that is receiving gifts, giving gifts. We all like to receive a good gift, don't we? I guess for some, it's a way in which they actually have a look and measure how they're loved. And when we think about receiving gifts, it's not just the actual gift, but it's the thought of wanting to give something to a person. You know, a person with this love language feels love when receiving, you know, any kind of gift. It doesn't have to be the most expensive, but it's thoughtful and there's effort that goes into finding it and to giving it to a person. So some examples of Jesus giving gifts in the gospel. We think about how Jesus fed the 4,000 in Matthew chapter 15 or the 5,000 in Luke chapter 9. We think about as well that that gift started with, you know, a prayer and giving thanks to God, receiving that love from the Father in order to give that back out. He gave the gift of power and authority to his disciples to cure diseases and to heal people. He was definitely in the habit of giving gifts, even to the point that at the Last Supper, when the disciples are wondering what Jesus is referring to when he tells Judas, go quickly and do what you need to do, Jesus knows what he's referring to. It's the act of betrayal that Jesus is about to engage in. But the disciples assume that it's Judas as the money keeper going to give some gifts and some money to the poor. And we only have to think of the ultimate gift that Christ has given each and every one of us when he laid down his life for us by going to the cross. The next love language that I want to talk about is acts of service. So things that are done to make life easier for another person. Whether you're acting to remove a burden from their life, help them out, provide a space for them to do something else, these acts of service will tell a person with this language that they're respected and that their time is appreciated. It's really funny when you look up and dig in a little bit about these love languages, a lot of the common thread that I read through here is that I had love, I was giving love to those around me, but it wasn't the kind of love that they connected with, that they understood. There's countless stories about these love languages, and people hear these and they go, oh, okay, so I'm trying to give all my love in a particular way and another person is receiving it in a different way. And the beauty of starting off with receiving love from the Father is that it goes beyond all these love languages. We can get into all of these and think about how we do them, but I certainly want to come back to the beginning and just really think about all these things. They're so empty if we're not giving the of ourselves from the Father, from that love that he's given us first. Some examples of acts of service that Jesus showed us in the Gospels is the washing of the disciples' feet. His time is coming. He knows where he needs to go, but he makes that time to communicate his love for his disciples. He gives them an example to follow, as we've spoken about today. You know, throughout the Gospels, there's 31 individual healing miracles and 11 occasions where many are healed. What a beautiful gift that Jesus gives when he comes into our life and heals us of those things that we cannot do for ourselves. That no matter where we look in the world, no matter how hard we try within ourselves, some of those things we just can't do without His love, without His healing grace. We think about the woman who was suffering from bleeding for 12 years. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 8 that she had this faith that if she could just touch the garment of Jesus, that she would be healed. And one interesting point of this is that although Jesus was in a crowd full of people, He knew that power had gone out for Him. And this is the same as with acts of service. They require that effort, that power to go out. When we're giving and serving in that way, we're giving of ourselves. And we're reminded in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, that we use our freedom to serve one another in love. The last love language I want to touch on is physical touch. It signifies a person who feels love most through intimate contact. Touches can be large or small, but the most important thing there is that someone is having that their love language spoken to when they're, you know, receiving, whether it's a handshake, a pat on the shoulder, a gentle nudge of encouragement. You know, in these times of COVID, one of the things I continue to hear is that as a hugger, it's so hard to live in a non-hugging world. And I know straight away that person expresses and receives love through a physical touch. And we think about Jesus in this sense. And when He does healings and He does meet and connect with people, He usually touched them. But just as we spoke about with that centurion soldier, He didn't have to. He usually chose to reach out and touch those people of which society would have took the distance, pushed away, pushed back. When the children came to Jesus, He took them in His arms and He blessed them. Jesus chose to be physically present. So discussing these love languages and just having a look at how Jesus has expressed them, these are just a few examples. The encouragement here for you is to take your time in God's Word and find those examples. Place yourself within those situations. Have a look at how we are giving and receiving of love. Because my final point today is that we serve others with that same love. God showed us how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world, that we might have life through Him. We serve others through His love that's poured out upon us. We look at life by the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And it says that we, God's children, we're called to be free. But we should not use our freedom to indulge the flesh. It's that same comparison of looking for love in the world. We shouldn't use this gift of grace and mercy to indulge our own selfish desires. God's love is selfless, and that's where we take that love and serve others with the same approach. We serve one another humbly in love. Jesus reminds us it's not a new command that He gives us. It's the same one from the beginning. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. And it's by this that everyone will know that we are His disciples if we love one another. It's a final encouragement there found in John chapter 13. And I just want to bring us into a space where we can reflect on where we're at with loving one another. Whether that's through receiving love, giving love. We want to check our love tank today. We want to have a look at how we can better love like Jesus. We start with him. We need to seek him. We need to receive his love. We need to respond to that love. We need to ask his love to transform our lives. We have to become willing to allow it to work in those areas of our lives that we just can't do on our own. When we admit our need for him, when we receive what he's got in store for us, it's a natural response. It's an outpouring, an overflow of his love. And when we serve others with that love, it's the way in which people see the love of Christ at work in the world. We can talk about it all day long, but just as Jesus has done, it's his actions, it's the way that he lived, it's the way that he laid down his life for us that communicates that love, that mercy, and that grace that will transform our hearts and our lives. I want to encourage us as the band come forward today to notice what kind of love languages people speak. Get to know what love language you want to communicate God's love to other people with. And as Jesus did, he identified their love language by listening to them. We need to listen to what God would have us, how he would have us love others. And if we receive his love, it will only come natural that we respond to that, that we live out of that, and we start to serve one another with that same love. Let us pray, friends, and step into a time of reflection and praise today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your love that's been outpoured for all of us. We thank you, love, that, Lord, that you express love in so many ways and have given us an example that we can follow. Lord, I just pray for each of us today, Lord, that we would seek your heart. We would seek to know, Lord, where in our own lives we need to receive your love and receive what you have in store for us, Lord, the ways in which you would transform our lives, Lord. Help us understand how to respond to this in a way, Lord, that communicates love, that serves your church, Lord, your body, in the same love that you've called us into. And by your grace and mercy, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.